Please be seated. Imagine with me a summer camp. High school students primarily are the ones attending. And there's some block of free time. And there are several fellows who at their respective high schools play basketball and say, hey, we got some free time. Let's get a basketball game. And it just so happens at another court, there's a group of the gals, the high school students themselves, that play at their respective schools, the girls' basketball. And they say, hey, we can do that too. So amongst themselves, the boys are playing with the boys, the girls with the girls, but each got their game going together. Now, one of the teams, they figured out, you know, they picked their teams, they got it all set up. And one guy thinks he is the GOAT, i.e. greatest of all time. Same thing happens with one of the women. There's this one on her team, and she's just convinced that she is God's gift to basketball. There's a guy who refuses to shoot at all. And one gal refuses to pass. She's got to make all the shots herself. Two people are calling for the ball in one possession. And yet there's a person wide open to whom nobody will throw it. Now, in both cases, the other team, they got a quick read on each other, figuring out their strengths and their challenges. And they begin to make plays by playing to their respective strengths. And in both cases, these teams win. The ironic thing is that if there was a talent meter, the losing team would actually be a little bit ahead. In both cases, the losing team, after the game, is looking very glum, doing a bit of an after-action report, and they both come to the same conclusion. We didn't lose because we lacked talent. We lost because nobody knew who they were. We did not know how to play together. And that can happen in a variety of situations. Work groups, churches. I mean, any place it can happen. Volunteer organizations. There are gifted people in place, but often disconnected from one another, overreaching while some are sitting on the sidelines. And that is to what Paul is speaking now to the Romans, to those gathered in these various churches in Rome. You have been redeemed. And renew your mind. And how does it look? In part, how you work together. And first, being clearly, to think clearly about yourself. Humility is an accurate self-understanding. There are those who think too highly of themselves. Those that, as I've said before, they get up in the morning and they look in the mirror and they sing, "How great thou art." Maybe you know someone, don't really raise hands, but maybe you know someone like that. But there are others who will overly downplay themselves. Someone in church could do a solo, do beautiful music, and they're complimented, and they've got to downplay their talent. Pride inflates, and insecurity deflates. Reminder that the gospel stabilizes. Seeing ourselves, of course, as God sees us, worthy, but being very accurate about our strengths and challenges. There's the guy who shoots every time, and the guy who will not shoot at all, refuses to take a chance. And both can hurt a team. If you do not see yourself clearly, you will either take over or check out. A good question to ask yourself is saying, Lord, where am I overestimating myself? Lord, where am I hiding when I should step up? So it is important to understand yourself, your particular wiring, but also to see how you fit. You belong, we belong, to something much bigger. We, though many, form one body. And we are all parts. We are not the whole thing. We are parts, and that is the way it was designed by our Lord. Growth happens in connection, one with the other. Faithfulness is doing your part. I've often referred sermons, classics, refer to Corrie ten Boom, her family that had the hiding place, had the place where they hid the Jews there in the Netherlands. But part of the story, because we usually focus on the hiding and what happened afterwards, was just as she described growing up there in her father's shop. They lived above shop. Her father was a watchmaker. And at a certain point realized that this is the sister that got married and that's the brother that got married and Betsy and I are not going to get married. And that Betsy, I think, being older, well, you're the older one, then you need to work in the shop. And so she's trying very hard to work in that watchmaker shop. And Corrie was the housekeeper. And that was a struggle too. Until they realized where their gifts were. Betsy was much more the domestic. I mean, she could, just wonderful. And so they switched. And Betsy became the homemaker. And she was happy and everybody was happy. And Corrie began to work in the watchmaker shop and actually became, as I understand it, the first woman licensed to be a watchmaker to do watch repairs in the Netherlands. But that's where her skills were. And both were valuable in what they did and what they brought to the table. The classic analogy with the body is we don't expect an eye to do the walking or the foot to do the seeing. Each of us has a part. You're not all things. You're not meant to be. You are meant to be in that community. You don't have to be impressive. You have to be connected. Your gift is meant to be used, not admired nor hidden. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us, Paul writes. Spiritual gifts are not badges. They are assignments meant to be used, not stored. Use what you've got. The gifts are a gift according to grace, not earned, not deserved, not status. Sometimes people will sit on their gifts out of fear of comparison or passivity, reminding that it's just as harmful as pride. We're called to be obedient, to do the next faithful thing, that to which you are called. Do the next thing. Story shared of a woman faced in a very difficult situation and knew some people would be coming by to comfort her. And so after hearing the hard news, she began sweeping the floor. The friend who said, why are you doing that? Well, people are going to be over here. I know I need to get the place ready. Let me just do the next thing. Get the place ready. Interestingly enough, listening to one of my podcasts this week and a larger topic about plotting life, plotting your life later in life and what to do. The author said, the book said that, you know, there's so much often in front of you or you're not sure what to do next, but there might be one step. You can't fix everything, but what is the next step to do? And just do that. Some mornings I see several tasks in front of me and, you know, about the idea you do this, you do the most hardest task or the most important task first. And sometimes I could take 2 hours debating what is the most important. Just pick something. And generally you figure out as you get into it what the priorities are, but simply do the next thing. The game players in our respective basketball games, they could have helped. Some of them could have helped, but did not. Unused gifts don't stay harmless. They leave a gap. The encourager who stays silent doesn't help. The leader avoiding a task doesn't help. The person waiting on a sideline is definitely not helping. Always that question, what are we holding back that others need? A gift unused does not stay neutral. It becomes a loss to the whole body. Some people overthink their gifts instead of using them. As I said, sometimes clarity comes after obedience, not before. The transformed life becomes a useful life marked by humility, connection, and contribution. Remember that a healthy community isn't made up of perfect people. It's made up of people who know themselves, who stay connected, and show up when needed. As we said at that camp, the teams that won were not so much the talented teams as they were the teams that were aligned. They knew who was good at what and did that. And they could keep it together with their various gifts. The best teams are not the most talented. They are the most aligned. A question for us from this is to say, Lord, where do I need humility? And my humility is that proper understanding, not too much, not too little. Lord, where do I need connection? And Lord, where do I need to step in and serve? Know yourself honestly, belong fully, and serve faithfully. In Jesus' name, amen. And now let us continue our worship as we present to God our tithes, our offerings, our gifts, and our very selves.